Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Well, there's obviously air as well. It's just a lot of the, it's more moisturous than you'd think.
Moisturous.
God, I wish we were labeling episodes, because that would be the title of this episode.
More moisturous than you think.
More moisturous than you think.
PM. More moisturous than your mom. So,
did you have to go there? Jeez.
I did last night, yes. There's a rat called Rattus. He's the leader of the bunch. A cat called Modigliana. She's fluffy, but she's tough. Darren, he's a dopey dog. Mix, he's a mother that mixed up bunny. Feral, that's a feral's for ya. Feral's, don't mess with the feral's. The feral's, they're gonna get you, that's a feral's.
Hello and welcome to the Feral's Podcast. I'm your host, Monkey Boy, and I'm joined by
Swinney,
Mike.
And welcome to a terrific episode. Terrific. Absolutely freaking bombastic
episode. Oh, God. Jesus, what am I doing with my life?
Oh, well. Okay, so the theme of this episode, and it runs through the whole episode, is terrorism.
the old
kids show Chestnut itself. So the show opens with Darren sleepwalking. And Joe as the security guard, which I thought was awesome. I don't know, do you guys think it was a bit underplayed throughout the episode, Joe being the security guard?
They could have done a lot more with it. Probably the best part is a little later on, when you see him at the actual place that he's meant to be guarding, which... What was that place, Mike?
It was a cake shop. I don't remember the name, though. Did anyone remember the name?
It wasn't a cake shop. It was a crunchy crumbly cake factory.
A factory, sorry. That's what I meant to say.
There's a difference.
Do you think that's inspired by the cheesecake factory in Victoria?
No doubt.
Potentially. Was that franchise even around back then?
I don't know. Was it in Sydney as well? Because I think these are Sydney-based people who made the show.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
You guys actually think he was going to be a proper security guy or a stripper? I thought he'd be a stripper.
No, I thought he was a cop.
Oh, cop, right, okay.
I thought he was a bus driver.
Just like a certain character.
It opens with Lenny calling him a coward, which I thought was a bit harsh. I mean, it's not like Lenny's super brave, right?
No, he's not.
Yeah.
Well, but he definitely isn't.
It doesn't open with that. We missed a pretty important opening scene.
Sleepwalking?
Sleepwalking.
Yeah, we had... Yeah, Darren sleepwalking. I did say that, but I guess the key part is... No, because it starts off with Darren sleepwalking, and I said that at the start, but we don't get to see what Darren is doing until after the Joe part has been established.
Yeah. No, we saw that he was burying the other ferals right in the first scene.
Really?
Yep.
Well, actually, yeah, he was, because he buried two, and then he brought Rattus as well.
Yeah.
That's when it kind of started. The other two were already there.
Okay.
It was during that. You're just trying to skip through it just to get to the end quicker. It's so painful. Yeah.
They probably didn't explicitly explain it like in the dialogue until the follow-up scene. So
yeah, that's true.
And you, I guess this was kind of just after that opening scene with Lenny sleeping on the couch. It was very reminiscent of my previous relationship. which by the end of, I used to sleep on the couch pretty much every night.
That's a very random.
Why were you sleeping on the couch?
Because even though we argued, I was the amicable one. I thought, hey, okay, fine, you get the nice comfortable bed, I'll get the couch. But
didn't you own the place?
Yeah, but, you know, she was a lady.
You didn't explain why you broke up. It's because you used to sleepwalk all the time. She'd wake up buried all the way up to her neck in the garden.
Upside down or head up?
depends on the evening, I think.
Joe, in his first act of being a security guard, hears the ferals calling out for help and pushes Lenny forward to inspect what's going on. And that's where we see Mixie, Moddy, and I didn't notice that that Radis was buried as well. So they're all buried in the ground in the freshly done compost. So that's nice.
Yes, when Lenny was also having a go at Joe, joking about him being a security guard at the cake factory, all his sayings were brilliant. When he's like, oh, somebody's going to abscond with a scone and kidnap a croissant and take off with a tart.
That was actually quite good.
They were good, actually. They were high quality puns. Not quite up to... I couldn't quite reach that level at the intro of the show. But yeah, they were good quality puns. I like that. I also like when, you know, when they're rescuing Moddy and Mixie, they're pulling them up by the head.
Yep.
Actually, it looked really good. I don't know how they did it, because the puppets would be pretty loose, right?
I noted exactly the same thing. It was really well... what's the word for it, I guess?
Puppeteered?
Choreographed? Puppeteered? Really well made. And there's certain other scenes in the same part when they're talking, and you can see them sort of in between people's legs. So the way people must have I don't even know how they did it. It was really well made. The entire sort of that entire bit with them coming out of the earth and them talking was just really well shot.
And then we see that Darren is about to bury Keith, one of our favourites. And they establish it early that you're never meant to wake up a sleepwalker. Now, hasn't this already been established before? Wasn't there another episode where they say this? Never wake up a sleepwalker?
Yeah.
Swinney, does that ring a bell?
It doesn't ring a bell, but...
Okay.
Have we had a sleepwalking character before?
I'm pretty sure that there was like something like this. Like about sort of, you know, you can't wake up a sleepwalker.
I mean, we've had...
Like, was it Keith sleeping?
We've had health inspectors can't go out at night, but I don't know about you can't wake up a sleepwalker.
I don't know.
I vaguely remember something like that as well. I just don't remember the context of which episode. Yeah.
I don't know. You know what? It's a very common thing, and I never really understand it. You know, I sleepwalk. Well, I used to. I don't do it anymore, I don't think. But, you always hear it, but, like, why? Why not wake up a sleepwalker?
I don't think it makes any sense not to.
Do you think it's a myth?
I think it's a myth, yeah. We could look it up so we don't provide false information, then I don't know, people explode or something if you wake them up while they're sleepwalking.
we should treat this
as a 1990s show, so pre-Google era.
Pre-Google era, this happened in a previous episode, because I thought I told you guys about my mum and the sleepwalking, and then we discussed about you doing it as well. Because I gave that story about how she... We definitely did. Yeah. We did. Because I gave that story about how she used to sleepwalk, and one day she gets up while I was in the living room with my dad watching TV or something. She just walks past, opens the door, and starts knocking on our neighbor's door. And we're like, what the f*** is she doing? And I realize she's sleepwalking. But we didn't do anything. Yeah. We just left her there so she could keep knocking.
What?
That's how we roll.
Did you even know who those neighbours were?
They weren't even home, Lucky. We hoped they were, just to see the reaction.
What?
But they weren't, so... Hey, she'd have done the same to us, just for a joke, so...
Just for a joke. Then we see that cake has brought Joe in the house. That we see that Joe's brought cake in the house. I'm picking up your spoonerism, Swinney. So this made me think of him more as a cop, but then I'm like, oh yeah, that's right, he works at a cake slash, you know, donut place. So yeah, it makes perfect sense. I thought it was pretty nasty, actually, how Joe was talking to Darren about the whole no more sleepwalking. Like, just yells at him as if that's going to, like, cure him of his sleepwalking. I don't know. Very strange. Okay, so going on, what did you guys think of the revelation that when they were watching the news that there were terrorists and that they'd planted a 20-cent coin-sized bomb into a cake? What was, like, the first thought that came into your head?
The first thought was, man, what kind of horrible family calls their kid Chuck Muffin?
Oh, so was it Chuck?
It was Chuck Muffin.
I thought it was Chad.
No, it was Chuck Muffin.
Chuck Muffin.
Now, I know there's probably not much you can do for last name of Muffin, but still. It's almost like it's that person's made to be a food fight character.
Chad Muffin. Yeah, I can't think of any funny other alternative names. Mike Muffin. But Mike Muffin sounds pretty cool.
Stud Muffin. When they did say about the terrorist thing, it reminded me of quite a few episodes ago when they made another joke about terrorists. I'm like, oh my god, this is 95. We've established that this was the same year that the Oklahoma bombing happened. Now, I know that they probably made this show before that happened, but still, it just feels really... it just feels really distasteful, that's all.
but they have other... There was other incidents. Like, they tried to blow up the World Trade Center in, I think, 92, from memory. You had the Lockerbie bombings. Like, there were other terrorist incidents. Like, I don't remember ever being a topical joke area. You know, surely you get, like, really edgy comedies talking about stuff like that. Of course, they're going to approach any topic like that. But this is a kids' show. Like, should they really... It's almost like if they made it today, they'd be talking about the Syrian refugee crisis or something.
We're going to
ship them off on boats or something.
This whole episode... You know what I mean? This whole episode did not feel like a kid's show. It really did not. This entire episode.
See, it did in parts. That's the weird thing. The topic at hand didn't, but the way it was written, how, pardon the pun, shit it was, felt like a kid's show, if you get what I mean. There were parts where I just went, this isn't even that funny. It's just childish humor.
Okay. See, so I quite like this episode. That. I quite like this episode, but I didn't think it was for kids.
No.
I thought this was like an adult version of The Ferals, almost.
Yeah, it was almost like it was almost like something that you'd play on Fast Forward or one of those sketch shows. It felt like a bit more adult humour.
Yeah, definitely. It just certainly didn't feel like it was aimed at the 12, 13-year-old kids, as Mel said. But, yeah. So, was there anything else? Did you check this guy out, this Chad Muffin? I wrote down Chad Muffin. I'm just going to keep calling him Chad Muffin.
He, to be honest, he wasn't on much. He did, like, Water Rats, GP, The Ferals, not much.
Oh, Water Rats. Oh, hey, what's the piece of trivia for Water Rats related to us? I don't think we've ever talked about this.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, okay. That Water Rats, they filmed some stuff at, I think it was Sunshine West.
Oh, that's right. Was it Water Rats, was it?
Yeah, it was Water Rats. They were filming a high school reunion.
Ah,
they wanted to make it, like, look povo, to make the character look, you know, more real or something.
So they filmed they filmed the high school reunion at our old high school.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what I remember about it? It's that... this is so sunshine, I love it. That some of the coloured lights were stolen. Do you remember this?
I do not remember this.
So some kids stole the coloured lights, and the principal was asking, like, why has someone stolen these coloured lights, and you got to return them? And yeah, supposedly the crew was really pissed off because they're worth a fortune. These lights,
what do they expect in a place like that? Seriously, like, why? What the hell do you expect? I'm surprised they had. I'm surprised the cars they came with still had their freaking wheels on them. Like,
Oh, God. Yeah, but it's just a weird thing to steal out of all the things you can steal.
Like, I guess.
Surely you wouldn't be able to plug them in. That'd be like special proprietary plugs or something. Yeah, anyway. So now the Federals have to resort to tying up Darren because they're fearful that he's actually going to, you know, sleepwalk and bury them again. And also, I missed out, actually, that the Ferals really want Joe's cakes, and especially Moddy. And do you remember what food she particularly likes, Mike, in this scene?
No.
Homer
Simpson?
She just kept screaming, donuts, donuts, donuts. And then I think it was Raddus hits her in the head, and she goes nuts.
Yeah.
when he hits her in the head. That was probably one of my favourite parts in the episode.
It was crazy violent, this episode, at times. Just like random acts of absolute violence. Because, yeah, when he whacked her in the head, it was like just a square boom. She kind of like got knocked down, like she got totally knocked out and fell like a plank.
Also, in this same scene, Darren says, I have an idea. Let's try to convince the space aliens to go and get the cakes or something. What the hell was up with that? It wasn't even addressed after that. It was just like a random thing he came up with to let's speak to aliens.
I know. Yeah, because they're all getting excited. Oh. Yeah, go on, Mike.
I've got that George, whatever his surname is, that man with the aliens guy. The one with the crazy hair in my head now.
Oh, yeah.
Aliens.
Aliens. It was aliens all along.
So, Moddy wants her donuts. And then later in the night, Raddus gets Darren to steal the cakes. Like, he asked him, you know, because what I didn't establish earlier that was key, I guess, was that instead of waking up a sleepwalker, you can talk to them, and it's almost like you can influence their behavior. So now, like, they've realized they can tell Darren to do stuff, and he will do it while he's sleepwalking. So Raddus, of course, got him to steal all the cakes. I mean, how hard is it to get the cakes anyway? It seems like, you know, Joe's place is porous. You know, they can just go in and steal whatever they want every time. Like, how many times did they steal the mobile phone?
And also, Joe's working night shift now, so surely it's easy.
The plot holes.
You don't want to think about it. How many times have the Ferals stolen stuff in the show? It's like, I think we just watch it and go, oh, yeah, whatever. But it seems like every other episode, they're stealing something. And just take that as a comment.
I'm just going to say, just the morals.
Yeah, exactly.
Lack thereof.
Lenny wakes up and he realizes that, you know, his microscope's gone and a whole bunch of other stuff. And this is where we hear the announcement on TV that the confirmation of the bomb, which, do you remember its name, Swinny?
I can't remember exactly, but they said something like it was a powerful digital bomb inside the cake.
It was a powerful electronic digital bomb.
Electronic digital bomb.
And then they said it was a miniature bomb.
I love how Joe runs in. He's like, oh, quick. And he's just pointing out the fact that he'd photobombed the TV reporter at the side of the cake factory.
In the live feed. Oh, God. So now they realize that the cakes are missing and that there's a bomb in one of the cakes at that factory that Joe works at. And then, which leads them to go back to the shed where the cakes have been stolen and Raddus has eaten all the cakes. Now, I was disappointed with how, you know, he wasn't as fat as he could have been. Do you think he should have been fatter, Swinny?
Well, we've already had one episode where Raddus was blown up like a balloon, so I don't know if they wanted to go down the same route again. I mean, how many cakes were there? Were there heaps of them?
It's like a plateful.
Yeah, there was a whole plateful.
But it wasn't, like, a huge amount. Remember, cakes have a huge amount of water in them.
Really?
Yep. True story, bro. Yeah. A lot of the food ingredients
I thought you were
going
to say air, to be honest.
Well, there's obviously air as well. It's just a lot of the, it's more moisturous than you'd think.
Moisturous.
God. I wish we were labeling episodes, because that would be the title of this episode.
More moisturous than you think.
More moisturous than you think.
TM. More moisturous than your mum. So,
did you have to go there? Jeez.
I did last night, yes.
Just walked into that one. Oh, God. Anyway. So, yeah, they all rush off to the shed and they hear ticking inside of Raddus. And at this point, Moddy is about to whack Raddus. Or in my notes, as it's written, Moddy is about to whack Moddy.
So, I think we forgot to establish that this... supposedly, this bomb is the size of a, what, a 20-cent piece, they said?
I did say that, but yeah, it's a miniature bomb. I
was Why would you, like, add a clock that? And shit to it? Anyway, the whole thing doesn't make sense, whatever.
But I find that interesting, though. Have you ever heard of a bomb this small? Like, a fart bomb, maybe. Bombs this small.
Well, for the sake of not appearing on any ASIO lists, nah. Never. I don't even know what a bomb is.
Yeah, I remember those fart bombs. They were crazy. I remember people throwing them around at school.
Oh, people used to chuck them in the... used to run past open classrooms and chuck them in. Yeah. And they were foul as hell. Oh, God.
It was so bad. Are they actually illegal now? Because I feel like that was like... surely they'd ban them.
I don't know. What was in them?
Like, it would be chemicals, man. It would be, like, some nasty-ass chemicals.
Nasty-ass chemicals.
Not literally, figuratively. Yeah, like, surely they've banned them. You know, Australia is such a nanny state. They're never... because there's absolutely no purpose for them, apart from to stink and to create a nuisance. You know, normally with other things, like fireworks, I guess, you know, entertainment and all that kind of stuff. I don't know.
Surely hang on. Isn't it funny when you watch someone scream because you just blew up a fart bomb? That's entertainment in and of itself.
Just Googling it now, you can buy 72 individual fart bombs for $11.54 US.
That's good value. So cheap, man.
Yeah, but the shipping from the US is like, what, $100?
In the top
imagine someone in customs seeing that, and they just see, it says the word bomb all over it.
Yeah,
exactly. And they're like, quick, get the bomb specialist.
It actually says fart bomb all over it on the pack.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to share with you this image. It's awesome. What's it called? Oh, jeez. I like the top rated review. I'll have to read this out. It's quite funny. Yeah, I'm sending you the link.
Mm-hmm.
So the top rated review for these fart bombs, surprisingly, didn't get fired. 4 stars.
Surprisingly, didn't get fired.
Did not care for one of my co-workers' habits of condescending towards everyone, including the customers. I went to the boss about it, and apparently it would be more trouble for him to have her fired. Which I think she knows. So I bought some fart bombs and stuck them underneath the seat cushion at her desk. They didn't make the pop sound, but the stink was so thick you could cut it with a knife. The funniest part was that when she sat down, the chair squeaked in that fake fart way, and she embarrassedly said it was the chair. Nobody is willing to believe that now.
I like there's a 5-star review that says, starts with, my 10-year-old son purchased these with an Amazon gift card he received for his birthday. Who the hell is using an Amazon gift card to buy fart bombs? Come on. Seriously.
Hey, there's only one left in stock. We better hurry and order now.
And then the parent goes on and leaves a 5-star review. What the hell?
And that's like a hit and miss on whether or not it'll work. Lack of quality control on the fart bomb line production.
Lack of quality. What's the focus group testing for a fart bomb like? Sheesh.
Oh, God. Well, actually, I've just checked an Australian website, and they do have fart bombs. So it sounds like you can still buy them.
They're probably all organic, natural ones now.
Yeah, probably not as stinky. I actually think it'd be pretty funny to buy one of these. Seriously, like, when was the last time you've seen a fart bomb? I feel like you'd get shot if you actually tried to do this out in public these days. Like, because it made a bang sound, didn't it?
What, were we in America?
Oh, dude.
The people carry guns around with them.
Yeah, true. That's the one thankful thing. One thankful thing. Anyway, getting us back on in line. I don't even know where this came from. the fart bomb bit. Okay, so yes, we have the ticking inside Radis, and that some strange terrorists have planted a bomb inside a cake. I mean, my thought is, seriously, like, this is so inappropriate for kids. And then the next few scenes just kind of double down on that. I do like the dark line. I think it was Radis was saying how they were all saying, oh, call the bomb squad. And he said, don't call the bomb squad because they'd want to blow me up. You guys remember that bit?
No.
Yeah.
But did Radis say that? I think he did.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, maybe.
Surely it would have been Radis. Yeah. Anyway, so this is where we start to see the three methods at this stage of how they try to retrieve the bomb. So you already know what the methods are, Swinny.
Yeah.
Which do you think is the most entertaining? I'll let you cover what the three are, because I think I'll lose it if I start to say
okay,
it.
All right. So the first method, they try to fish the bomb out of Radis with something that looks like a magnet. Well, I guess it is a magnet, because they say...
The classic magnet shape.
Yeah, you know, how the hell do they work? Who knows? basically, I think Lenny goes, it mustn't be made from magnetic materials or something. The next one, Lenny makes something called Instapuke.
like Instagram, but more pukey.
Yeah, I know. And gives it to Radis. You know, there's all this big build-up, obviously, to get him to try to puke it out, and then Radis just burps and he goes, have you got any more, or something like that.
And he drank it with a straw as well.
And the last one, and I'm not kidding, they sit Radis on what looks like a kid's potty. And
it was a potty.
Try to get him to shit the bomb out while everyone is standing around him.
And commenting, just do a big poop.
So I'm glad you found that funny. I thought it was absolutely shit. No pun intended.
No, this part, I didn't find funny. I was just like, what?
That's cringeworthy.
Why have they got this in a kid's show? Yeah. Him trying to shit this out. What the hell?
I found it really funny. I was just like, this is so messed up. How did this get through? How did this go on air like this? Like, sure, like, don't you agree, though, that it does fit that model of, you know, appealing to the 12, 13-year-old kids, boys out there in particular. Like, you would agree that it kind of fits. It's ridiculous, farcical humour.
I don't know, man. I don't think I found that stuff funny when I was 13.
The only thing I liked about this scene, other than it's, like, I found the absurdity of it funny, but not the actual scene funny. But I did like that Radis says when they're trying to get him to take the shit, and he goes, I don't like being watched. I will say I like that.
Well, I think one thing that we should say is that, like, he's struggling at first, right? And then he's like, I got to try to, you know, make myself poop. So then he thinks of Moddy to encourage his bowels to work.
Oh, God.
And he actually succeeds. He actually succeeds in taking the shit and then says, pretty good effort.
Yeah, he goes, one of my better efforts, actually. Now, I want you guys to remember this scene, because something I'm going to tell you later will be flabbergasted by it. So
okay, cool.
Well, the last thing I wanted to say to wrap it up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was good actually. The last thing I wanted to say was, did you guys notice how he pulls up his pants? It looked like underwear as well. It was creepy.
It looked like he was wearing like underwear or nappies.
Calvin
or
Klein.
No, it looked like some little kid's underwear, like, you know, 2-year-old's underwear or something weird, right? And then you see the next scene, he's got no underwear, no pants, right? That was really weird.
It was... That whole scene was very unnecessary.
It was so messed up. I found it really funny, though.
They could have alluded to the same thing, but had him kind of, like, in a toilet, and they were outside the toilet... saying, how are you going? Or something like, come on, Radis.
Yeah, like banging on the door.
Yeah, you can do it, Radis. So still has the same absurdity, but it's not so crass and so just... He was sitting on a freaking kid's potty and they're all staring at him.
And it was in the kitchen, wasn't it?
On the table. On the kitchen table. What the hell?
I agree. Like, picture this. Edgar Wright-style directorial effort. You know, they're all banging on the door. The door slams. You know, Raddus looks up. It's kind of like one of those extreme angles where it's, like, showing up. You could easily make that funny.
I think
but this was
instead so of that that alternative episode subtitle we said before, we should call the Shitty Shitty Bang Bang.
That's true, actually. That's true. Wait, what is the episode called again?
Ratty Ratty Bang Bang.
Ratty Bang Bang.
Ratty Ratty Bang Bang. Yeah, it's true. Shitty Shitty Bang Bang works perfectly, actually. So yeah, like the last method, which they don't go down, is that Moddy wants exploratory surgery with a blunt knife.
So dark.
So dark. So yeah, now the ferals all run away, which, I don't know, this whole thing's a bit weird. Like, if they actually think that he has a bomb inside of him, surely that would cast him out, right?
Well, we missed...
Like, I mean, they kicked him out of the shed.
We kind of forgot to mention that after that attempt, Raddus was no longer ticking. And they're like, ooh, something's been fixed. And then Darren, like, pats him on the back and then it starts ticking again. Then that's when they all run away.
That's true. That's true. And also, when he... Didn't he poop out something?
No, I think he just pooped out what you'd expect him to. I don't think they actually...
Oh, no, sorry. They fished out the can from his mouth.
Oh, right, that's right. They fished out a can.
There's a lot of stuff coming out of his body in this scene. So yeah, Raddus is now whinging because ferals have kicked him out of the shed, and then he fools them, says that he's going to charge the door. I was really hoping in this bit that Moddy would smash him in the head. Surely she can punch him in the head and it wouldn't blow up. I don't know, maybe he wouldn't risk it, but
well, they keep saying don't hit him, it'll set it off or some stupid thing.
Yeah, that's true. So now, like, the other ferals are going to leave, but Darren was very loyal, I guess the loyal dog, and he's going to stay by Raddus. So now it's going to be Raddus and Darren in the shed.
Darren puts
Moddy
on...
And Moddy and Mixie are leaving.
Like, bomb protection gear, like a helmet and...
Yeah.
Some vest, like, high-vis vest that... I could only make out the word bomb on it. I don't know if it said anything else on it, but...
Yeah, it says bomb. So I want to play what Moddy says as her final words to Raddus, which just echoes how dark this show this episode really is.
Raddus.
You win, Raddus. But before you blow up, I think you should know how I feel about you. I hate you. I've always hated you. I think you're a dork, a snot face, a stupid, low down, dickhead, pile of poop! Finished.
Wow, this is crazy, man. It's so dark.
There was nothing nice about anyone in this whole episode. It was just all horrible.
Mixie
screams before that, and she's like, I'm too young to die, and runs away from Raddus. It's like, what the hell?
Well, I think that Lenny and Robbie were sort of trying to find him, trying to help him a bit. Like, later.
I guess so.
Don't you think? A little bit, but I agree. This is a very dark episode. I like it. So yeah, Darren's in the shed, and so they're all sleeping. And Moddy and Mixie go to the window and start to instruct Darren to put Raddus outside, so he blows up outside of the shed. It's just so dark, man. It's so dark. So what they do is they get Darren to put him outside, and they hook him up. What would you describe it as? Like a little, like, you know, those old school cartoon ignition, you know, you push down on it and it blows up the bomb, right?
Yeah, it's like a, what do you expect to be hooked to, like, TNT or something? Because they've got, like, I don't know, what that push thing? What do you call that? Ignition thing or whatever?
Yeah, it's like an ignition box or something.
Yeah, right? And have it hooked up to Raddus, but... They clarify it's just electricity because they go, oh, well, it turns out rats don't conduct electricity or something. So it was really weird, but you know what's...
Well, yeah, Mixie postulated maybe rats don't conduct electricity.
Now,
then Moddy holds onto it.
You know what's weird about this scene is that when we were looking at doing this entire podcast, I chose a random episode of The Ferals to just quickly skip into and check out just to remind myself what it was like. And this scene is the scene that I saw.
Ah,
so I'm like, this made me go, okay, this show was screwed up. Now I actually want to do a podcast about it.
Well, I reckon this is this kind of episode, like this episode in particular, how messed up it is. Like, Raddus pooping on the kitchen table while they're all watching, and then they're fishing through it. It is so messed up. Like, there's zero chance that they could show this kind of stuff on TV. Imagine if this episode came out today. Like, terrorists, one of the characters got a bomb inside of him.
They trying to make him poop.
It's insane. Nothing about this episode.
When they go to electrocute Raddus to, I guess, try to set off the bomb or whatever.
basically to kill him. Yeah. And
I like how...
Yes, exactly. They're trying to kill him.
Moddy. I like how Moddy goes, "Sayonara, rat features." Again, rat features is not an insult to a rat. I'm sorry. It's not an insult.
Well, you know, because I've got the puppy, right?
Right.
Sometimes I call him dog face or dog head. And people are like, "Oh, that's a bit rough." I'm like, "Why? Well, it's very accurate, isn't it?" Yeah. He's got a dog face. He's got a dog head.
I know.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe... is it an insult? I guess it's not. He is a rat, so...
It's not. For people, it is. But yeah, towards Raddus, no. Exactly. Of course not. Human face.
Yeah. It's like going, "Mike, you know, damn, you've got some real human features."
"How dare you, good sir?" I challenge you to a duel.
Slap. But don't you think it's sort of like something that's generally considered not positive? So rat is not considered a positive. So still saying it, even when it's appropriate, is trying to be seen as an insult?
Yeah, of course.
It'd be like if I said Mike's a Romanian immigrant. You know, it's accurate, but it sounds kind of like dodgy, right?
Not really, because it's true.
Okay.
A filthy one at that. Okay.
Sometimes. Alright, so where are we up to? Okay, so it fails to detonate Raddus. So Moddy grabs onto the wires and Mixie tries it again. And she gets this massive electric shock that sounds like a bomb explosion, which gets Robbie and Lenny to fly out. I thought it was pretty funny when she blew up. I don't know what you guys thought of it.
Yeah, no, it was good. I thought it was good.
You mean electrocuted.
I'm starting to develop where I think you guys are going to rate the show versus me. Feels like there's going to be a bit of a gap based on how you guys are talking about the episode.
I thought that the effects of her getting electrocuted and flying off were done pretty well.
I actually think it's like up there. It's not as good as Mary Poppins' bit, but I thought it was like pretty well produced. Like, it looks really good, the way they do it. I don't know, maybe it was one of those effects that they could do easily. You know how sometimes it's easier to do some versus others?
Yes.
Alright, so, and the other thing that we find out now is that the bomb will go off at 11 p.m. So, how did this work? How did Raddus get to Keith? I can't remember that bit. Because they tried to blow up...
Well, suddenly, Mixie. Randomly, they looked in the tree and Darren had taken Raddus to Keith. And then they said, Raddus has a bomb. And Keith's like, "What?"
"Where's my gummies?"
And he goes, I think Keith goes, "He's not staying here all night." And Mixie says, "It's just till he explodes." And Keith goes, "Till he explodes?"
And then he falls off at that point, doesn't he?
Yeah, he falls off. They catch Raddus
onto the trampoline,
and then they just leave Keith
and then put underneath.
They just leave Keith to keep bouncing on the trampoline.
And I love how, you know, when it looks so fake, it's when they bounce as high as they bounced the first time.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, the second bounce is as high as the first time, and you just look at it and go, "That's just fake. Come on, not even trying."
Now, the next scene is to me probably the most out of line scene in this episode so far, when they tie Raddus up to the post, and then they all hide. behind with like helmets behind, almost like a war zone kind of sandbags. It was like a firing
which they
line.
Set up in 15 minutes, because that's all they had, didn't they? From the moment they found out, they're like, "Oh no, we've only got until."
Hey, you think quick when there's a bomb, though.
But they were all standing there like, oh, we can't wait till this happens. Let's watch.
It's so dark. Like, it's exactly right. If you can think of, like, an ISIS terrorist video, that's what it looks like. He's tied up to this pole. He's got a bomb inside of him. It's actually, to be honest, if the ISIS terrorists heard this, they might take that idea of putting a bomb inside someone and tying them up to a post to get them
to
blow up.
Lenny even says something like he's calculated how far the bits will fly.
Yeah, this is
not a kid's show. Come on. What the hell?
Don't worry. He goes, don't worry. I've calculated how far the bits will go and we're safe. And then Motti is struggling to find what to wear when you're going to see a dead rat. So she's in a little black number. Oh, God.
And Kylie says, I think, fake Kylie, we'll put flowers on your grave. And then Keith says something along the lines of, if we can find enough of him to bury or something. What the hell?
And then Radis was saying about how he's going to get Motti. He's like, oh, I'm going to get you back. I'm going to make sure that wild dogs pull you apart. You remember that?
Yeah.
Yep.
I was like, Jesus, man, that's crazy. And then it actually is like right at the end, we see Joe running in and Radis is like, oh, thank God, someone's here to help me. And then Joe says, do you know how much TV would pay for this? And he then starts to film. He's going to film the explosion.
This is so messed up. It is so messed up. It's not. This is,
like, to be clear,
I would say this is the most messed up episode of the series.
Easy.
That I can remember.
To be clear, they all think he has a bomb in. It's not like they're pulling a prank and making him think that he has a bomb in. They all think there's a bomb ticking inside of him. And they're like, there to watch and to, you know, be a part of the explosion. So at this point, then it ticks to 11 p.m. And then they're like, oh, okay, you know, he doesn't blow up. Now, can I just say something? Do you remember back in the day, like the mid-90s, you were never 100% sure what the time was? Because there's no way to sync your clocks, really, and your watches accurately. Do you remember that?
No, because you used to be able to call. It used to be a number you used to always call.
It wasn't 100% accurate, though. It wasn't 100% accurate.
It doesn't have to be 100% accurate.
The only time you could do it is off maybe the nightly news or something. There's heaps of ways to be able to do it.
That's delayed depending on where you are.
Bunch of seconds. It wasn't an issue.
A bunch of seconds. Of course, you matter about a bunch of seconds when they say it's going to blow up at a certain time. All I'm commenting on is that it's funny that these days you have a phone and it's so finely calibrated. It is more. The accuracy is less than a second.
Yeah, because it goes back to the atomic clocks.
Everyone is wearing almost these atomic clock calibrated devices these days. But I was just thinking, it's crazy. I would wait for 5 minutes before, you know, approaching him. You know what I mean?
This is the ferals.
Like, just because
it's
11, who cares? That's true. So now, like, how does Joe come up with the point about, oh, okay, that's
right. I'll just say,
actually ask.
Before you get to that, he doesn't blow up. They all seem so disappointed that Radis didn't blow up.
Yes, that's true.
They're like, oh. And with a disappointed look on their face. They're meant to be, like, their friend, especially the other ferals. What the hell?
I love it. It's so funny. So that's how. Because they were asking each other about, what's the time? Oh, do you want to check? My watch is always wrong. And then Joe's like, no, my watch is broken, remember? It was on the table. And then they all realize that he swallowed the watch and not the bomb. Okay, that's all great.
This is where I just went. Now, come on. Like, it was so contrived.
I was fine.
It wasn't even set up from the start or something in a way like Joe goes, oh, hey, I can't find my watch.
Well, that's what I asked, actually. That's what I was wondering. Like,
bullshit. It was really bad writing.
I don't think Mike's going to rate this episode very high.
No, but you, can I... Yeah, six. Can I just ask, though? They definitely didn't bring up the fact that there was a watch at any stage.
No.
I do not remember anything until that stage, which is why I went, please.
It would have been such an easy thing for them to set up and then, allow people to kind of forget it because it was mentioned in passing.
Yeah, you would have forgotten it. Well, sort of. It's pretty obvious that it wasn't an actual bomb. I know. Did you guys ever think it was a bomb?
I actually thought it was a watch, but I didn't. I thought maybe I'd missed something where they did say there was a watch or something. So
yeah. I think we all thought that. But so what I don't understand is now Darren comes into frame and he's sleepwalking still, and he's got a cake, and the cake is ticking. Now, did this cake? Was there an origin of this
again,
cake?
Again, no origin, bullshit. Just came out of nowhere just to somehow link it back to the exploding cake shop.
It's the real bomb. Yeah, it's the real bomb, right? Now, can I just make one point? It is already past 11, right?
Yes.
Because they were going to go check out Radish.
I didn't even think about that. That's a massive
problem. So now if... So, just to paint the picture here. So, Radis is on a pole with, like, a spotlight on him with the sign that says Live Rat. And he's supposed to have a bomb in him that didn't go off at 11. So, they're like, oh, okay, the bomb's not in him. Then, Darren starts walking in with a cake, the only cake remaining. So, they all conclude that it has a bomb in it. Now, surely it would have already blown up because it was past 11. Like, the same logic would apply, wouldn't it? And, yeah, in this scene, then, Darren... is instructed to throw the bomb and he throws it in the direction of where they're all hiding and it proceeds to blow up. So at this point of the episode, like, Lenny, Robbie, all the other Ferrells, Joe, they're all dead. They're all being blown up by this bomb.
I know. It's a terrorist bomb. It should be pretty strong, you know?
So we've seen the next scene. Now, why is Radis still tied up in the next scene? So, we get to the next scene. Oh, no, it's because he's doing an x-ray on himself, right? To see where the watch is.
They've just randomly got an x-ray.
They've got an x-ray machine. It's like one of those crazy ones where you can see straight through. But he's still tied up, though. You remember that?
Well, yeah, because when they do what they do at the end, he's definitely tied up.
Say what they do at the end. It's insane.
Okay. Joe orders Darren, who's still sleepwalking for some bizarre reason, to retrieve the watch from Radis by shoving his arm down Radis's throat. And it's not like a comical thing where it's like, goes to grab it, bing, it's out. You don't see it, but you hear it, and it sounds like it's something out of like a Saw movie. It is so disgusting.
I'll play it. Because it's also the way Joe says it. It's so evil. It's such an evil sadistic intent. Sadistic. I know.
So how are you going to get your watch back, Joe?
Darren, put your arm down Rattus's throat.
What?
And get my watch. Now, go fetch.
No. There's a light. There's a...
That's
so messed up, man.
It is so bad. And basically they show the watch and it's got like all bile over it or something.
But how evil does he sound? And watching it again, they're all like egging Darren on. They're all like super excited that he's about to put his arm down Radis's throat and rip it out of his stomach.
What? Can I just ask? Radis is an arsehole in nearly 90% of the episodes, right?
Yeah.
And other than getting Darren to steal the cakes off Joe, what has Radis done wrong in this entire episode for them to all gang up on him?
I don't know. It's so funny. I just thought about it then. Why the hell have they got him tied up? What did he do wrong? He didn't do anything wrong. It's not his fault that Darren threw the bomb, right? Oh, no, I think he actually did say throw the bomb.
This bloody episode.
It's so dark, man. And then the episode conclusion is with Darren burying all the gang and then putting in roses on order of Radis. Wow, what an episode. What a crazy, crazy episode.
Okay. Before we get into the ratings, can I just tell you something about this episode that I was alluding to?
Yes.
All right. Would you guys agree that this episode was by far one of the most vile or non-kid-friendly episodes?
Yes.
I struggle to think of any episode that comes close to being as non-kid-friendly.
Ditto.
Okay.
Maybe the gambling one.
Okay.
But yeah,
can I? Can I? I'm just gonna say a list of people and I guess films, and I want you guys to try to guess what this episode has in similarity with them. It's probably the wrong word, but basically has in connection to them. So, The Great Gatsby. Now, forget the whole Brian Rooney thing. I'm not talking about that.
Is it Brian Rooney?
No, The Great Gatsby, Lantana, Eric Banner, Moulin Rouge, Rabbit Proof Fence, Hugo Weaving, and on and on and on. What do you think this episode has in connection with those people and films?
A bomb?
Mike? Nothing?
No, wait. Rabbit Proof Fence doesn't have a bomb. What is it?
This episode won an award from the Australian Film Institute.
Wait, what?
Really?
What?
This episode won the Best Australian Children's Drama for this episode.
For this episode.
For this episode.
What?
From the AFI.
Hang on, who wrote this episode out of curiosity?
Can you hear my flask? Take a swig. I'm taking a swig.
Now, it could be one of those things where they just award the latest episode for a show that they want to kind of congratulate the whole series, right?
Okay.
Pick a random episode.
Yeah, it could be, okay, well, that episode, we'll attribute it to that one single episode. But I had really high hopes of this episode because for ages I've seen on IMDb and even on the AFI's website, because it's not just IMDb being wrong, that this episode won that category for that year in 95. And I'm like, damn, it must be a really good episode. And then it turns out to be the most vile, non-kid-friendly episode so far. What the hell? I mean, it didn't have any competition. It was like against Lift Off and Ocean Girl or something, but...
Oh, Ocean Girl was pretty good.
That wasn't too bad, yeah.
That chick was pretty hot.
I just can't believe that it was this one episode that has won them the award.
There you go.
Well, I think this is going to go very well into ratings, because I think we're going to be very far apart on the ratings. Do you want me to start? Or
yeah, go ahead.
Maybe
we should end on a high, right?
I'll go, and then Swinny.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe I'll go last. Okay. So how about you, Mike? What did you rate this episode?
I was actually going to rate it lower than this, but I'm giving it a 3.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Reasons is pretty apparent from my lack of contribution to this episode. And the reason why I actually did give it some points
we
is
can't make that assumption.
Because there were parts that were really... The actual set design was fantastic. The acting and everything within it was really, really good. It's just the story itself was pathetic. It seriously was. It was horrible. It was by far the worst episode I think I've seen. And the way... Okay, it was so contrived.
Three is the lowest you've ever voted.
I don't know if it was the lowest. Was it?
No, I just checked.
Okay,
that's
cool.
The lowest
you've ever
given an episode. And you were going to give lower, you said.
Yeah, I was. But I have to appreciate the fact that some of the scenes were really well put together. But in overall, yeah, it was bad.
Okay, cool. All right, how about you, Swinny?
I give this episode a 6. I thought it was a funny episode that unfortunately had, as we have seen, a lot of plot holes. If I was rating this for its appropriateness toward children, it would be like a 2. But I'm rating on my personal enjoyment of it. So I gave it a 6 because I think it could have dealt with the subject matter funnier, as much as you can deal with terrorist bombs and rats shitting out bombs funnier, I don't know. So I gave it a 6.
Okay, so I'm going to rate it such that the average for this episode is going to be a 6 out of 10, amazingly. I gave this a 9 out of 10.
Whoa!
Okay. Let me defend it. So I totally agree. That this is so inappropriate for kids. This episode, it almost appears like just a joke episode that the cast put together for their own amusement. Like, if they started swearing in it or something like that, you'd go, this wasn't a real episode and we're watching something that wasn't even broadcast. But this really was broadcast and it won an award. I highly enjoyed it. I thought it was crazy. I thought it was really out there. To me, it sort of represents the memory of the show in terms of that show shouldn't have been aired, or it was really inappropriate. And watching this episode, like, if this was the first episode we watched, I would have been like, oh my god, this show was crazy.
I would have been
pretty disappointed after it.
I would have loved to see if this episode got more complaints than the average episode.
And also, I'm giving this a 9, because I think this is actually, for people, because I think at the end of this whole series that we're recording, we need to, like, kind of have the top 3 or top 5 episodes, or depending on what you're looking for. For me, honestly, this would be an episode that I'd say people should watch, just to go, this was actually broadcast on TV for, like, a kid's time slot and rated G. It would have been rated G, right? Because they wouldn't have a PG kid show.
No, it would be G, yeah.
So I have to give it a 9, just for all those factors of how mental it was that it made it on TV. So, but okay. So was there anything that we missed, or we covered it all?
Look, I think we covered most of this weird episode.
I think the only thing I miss
is a little puke.
The 25 minutes I wasted watching the episode.
Oh god! So there's only 4 more episodes to go. Mike, 4 more. So that's 100 minutes of your time remaining.
Hey, you look at my average. My average is pretty good. I actually enjoyed most of the episodes, bar maybe one previously that I wasn't a fan of.
Four was the lowest before that.
But other than that, they're all pretty decent episodes, and some were fantastic.
Yeah, you really hated this episode.
Yes.
Yeah, you hated it.
No, because it started off, actually laughed at the start. I actually thought some of the stuff was really funny. Like, the little puns, like saying it'll be a piece of cake. Stuff like that was really, really funny. The way Keith was snoring cracked me up. The puppeteer work was fantastic. It's just sort of halfway through, I just went, what the hell is this?
That's probably what I enjoyed.
It just felt like it was a waste of time watching the episode.
Okay. Well, it's bye for now, but for next week, it's episode 12, 4 Ferals and a Wedding.
Uh-huh.
Hopefully, Mike will enjoy this a lot more. But that's it for us now. All right, bye.
Adios.
Goodbye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.